Vietnam is marking the 30th anniversary of the end of what most Vietnamese call the American War. On April 30th, 1975, North Vietnamese tanks burst through the gates of the presidential palace in Saigon, signaling the end for the U.S.-backed regime in the south, and the country was united under communist rule. NPR's Michael Sullivan has been traveling the length of Vietnam's Highway 1 from the north to the south, examining life in Vietnam 30 years after the war. Today, he concludes his series in Camau province at the southern tip of the country.
The end of the road in southern Vietnam, literally, is in Nam Can, at the confluence of the Khang Quan and Qua Long rivers, a bustling market town where vendors sell their wares in ramshackle shops along the river or on boats bobbing in it. It's theoretically possible to get here by road, during the dry season at least, but the most efficient method of travel in swampy Camau province is by speedboat. During the war, the Viet Cong used the dense mangrove forest here as a refuge or hideout from U.S. and South Vietnamese forces. U.S. boats often patrolled here. One of those boats was commanded for a time by then Navy Lieutenant, now U.S. Senator John Kerry. Last year's political attack on presidential candidate Kerry's wartime record concerned an incident that happened on the Bay Hop River, just a few miles from Nam Can. Bay Tang was a Viet Cong political officer here during the war. He now spends much of his time shrimping. His plot is on a canal that feeds the larger rivers nearby.
The American boats could not come here. They were out there in the big rivers like Bay Hop and Cơ Long. When they came, we would often ambush them using mortars, B-40 rockets, and automatic weapons. Sometimes they came with helicopters and drop troops here too. Then there would be a lot of fighting.
The Americans and the Southern soldiers controlled the towns, he says, but this area belonged to us. This area, once covered in forest, is rapidly giving way to shrimp ponds as Camau's people make the switch from rice to shrimp, which is exported to Japan, Europe, and the U.S. During the war years, Beitang says, he wouldn't have dreamed that he'd one day own a shrimp farm and a house in town. All we could think about then, he says, was staying alive. A half-hour boat ride to the south, two watchdogs sound the alarm as visitors arrive at the home of Nguyen Nap Thang, a rising star among Camau's shrimpers. Nguyen points to several concrete tanks filled with what appear to be tiny translucent worms, shrimp larvae, he explains. In a few more days, they'll be ready to ship to farmers all over the province and neighboring provinces, too. Nguyen says he's too young to remember much about the war. He was only five when it ended. But he does remember the post-war period of the communists' centrally planned economy.
There were shortages of everything. Sometimes you stand in line all day for your monthly quota of rice or some other staple. And often, when your turn came, there was nothing left to buy.
If the government hadn't changed policies and made it easier for us to do business, he says, I wouldn't be able to have this farm. And business is booming. He's expanding to other areas and now employs nearly 20 workers. And profit sharing means some months are better than others. 22-year-old Chin Van Thi has worked here for 3 years. I probably make more here than I would almost anywhere else, he says. When our business is good, I can earn almost 5 million dong, or $300 a month. Shrimp is king in Camau. More lucrative than growing rice, shrimp farming has improved the quality of life for many. But there are still far too many young people competing for too few jobs. For some young rural women looking for work, lack of opportunity has led to some desperate choices. 22-year-old Phap Thi Vuy works in a massage parlor in the provincial capital. Her family is poor, she says, so poor that she was forced to quit school and come here. She sends money back home to support her mother and sister. The owner here pays her 30 cents per massage. Extra services are provided for an extra fee. With tips, she says, she can make about $6 a day, but she wants a better job, a real job. Lack of jobs is a problem all over Vietnam. So are corruption, poor infrastructure, and inefficient state-run industries, all of which discourage growth. But these are problems shared by almost all developing nations, and Vietnam, some argue, is doing far better than most at dealing with them. Jordan Ryan is Vietnam Country Director for the United Nations Development Program.
20 years ago, 7 out of every 10 people in this country lived on less than a dollar a day. Now, less than 3 out of 10 live on less than a dollar a day. That's a dramatic decrease in poverty. China and Vietnam are the only two countries in the world that have done as well in reducing poverty.
Ryan says Vietnam's accomplishments in the past 30 years are impressive, but so are the challenges that remain. Progress on human rights and religious freedom, and what Ryan calls the biggest challenge of all, the need to create nearly 1.4 million jobs each year.
It's a young population that needs an education that's appropriate for them. It's got challenges of HIV. It needs to move even more aggressively to the market. So it's a country that's very much in transition, a country that's getting better every day, a country that's got a brighter future than it did 30 years ago. And the results, you know, we can talk about, but it results in poverty reduction, the results in education and health care, are truly felt throughout the country.
And while rural areas like Kamau province may not be improving as fast as many would like, urban areas like Ho Chi Minh City and Hanoi are booming. Vietnam's economy is growing at more than 7% a year. It is a country with an often tragic past, but one moving firmly, confidently, into the future. Michael Sullivan, NPR News.